the Word of God is going to present to us what it's going to show. It's going to be the change of a nation. Change of a nation. One person crying out to God, going to change a nation. All right. First Samuel chapter 1, we're going to be looking at Hannah and her life, her husband, Elkanah, all right? They lived, brother, in a time like we're living now, a time of disobedience, time of chaos, of what everybody just doing their own thing. You know, is how we classify. I'm just doing my thing. You know, whatever feels good. Well, let's just do it. And it says, and we'll just a quick verse. You don't have to turn there, but the last verse in the book of Judges, which is Judges 20, verse 25. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel." Brother, we are living in a time, I'm going to be honest with you, in a time where we have no leader, no one leader. Yes, we have a president, but he is not a leader, okay? I don't know who's doing the leading. It's behind the curtain. Somebody's doing the leading or something, but our president is not a leader. And we have no leader. So what happens, it says there, in verse 25, every man did or does which is right in their own eyes. It's a free for all. Whatever you feel like, whatever you want to do, no problem. Let's go ahead and have at it. It's if you go to downtown LA or downtown San Francisco, it's a zoo. It's a circus, okay? I don't know if anybody been down there and seen the misery that's just in the streets. Why? Because we have no leader. There's nobody that's being held responsible, right? Even the prisoners, they could do what they want because nobody is responsible anymore. We're living in a nation without a God, all right? Well, here in 1 Samuel is that situation. We're going to find a man that was a man that was religious. He wanted to serve God, Jehovah, El Shaddai, with his heart, but even the religion was corrupt. All right? So he ended up having two wives. First wife, to me, was his first wife. The one he loved the most was a lady by name of Hannah. But Hannah couldn't have kids. He couldn't have an inheritance. So according to the rabbis that read the law, said, well, you know what? She's not fulfilling her obligation as a woman. Well, you could marry a second one. And then have a kid. We have examples of Abraham, and we have examples of Jacob. So, hey, you know, go ahead. That way your inheritance could go on. So he married a second woman. And it says there in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we'll pick it up there from verse 2. It says, and he, Elkanah, had two wives. One wife was named Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Verse 3, and this man went up out of his city yearly, to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, which is the place where they worship. And the two sons of Eli, Eli was the high priest. He had two sons. Now, brother, the corruption and sin even went into the temple. The high priest and his two sons. which did things that was not right. They would get drunk with the drink offerings. And the women that would come up with problems while they would work a way to have a relationship with them. Brother, we have it now. We have it happening now where even in churches there is idolatry being worked. All right? These people were the same. The priests of the Lord were there. Okay, so there was corruption everywhere. All right? Hannah lived and at the time where nothing was going right. Nothing was going. Brother, how do you feel in your heart? Things are going right. Are you saying, man, this is great. I'm happy. Or you have a feeling things are wrong. There's something. Things are just not going right. Okay, but it was deeper than that. It went deep into Hannah's heart. What was happening? That idea of the time, it was still around by the time Jesus came around. Hundreds of years later, the disciples asked Jesus a question. They said, this man born blind, was it his parents or did he sin? You see, they thought sin, not having kids, was because God was mad at you. So Hannah had deep issues. Listen to me, child of God. God loves you. God loves you. And he wants the best for you. But because my heart is deceitful and wicked, I go and I put other things before God. All right? Because I love it. I like it. But God has to break through my stubborn heart. And Hannah had, she was there. She was in a wicked world. She had problems. And it says, verse 4, and when the time was for Elkanah, the husband, to offer, all right, because what they will do, they will go to Shiloh every year, and they'll have this feast, all right, where they'll give offerings to the Lord. And then they would sit down, and they'll have this family feast where it was like a love offering, where you're just all going to get together, and we're just going to have like, as if you celebrate Thanksgiving now, okay? They're going to have this feast. It says that it came time when Elkanah offered and he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and all her sons. Yeah, if you notice that it's her sons, because his heart wasn't with her. She fulfilled her obligation, why he married her. And her daughters, and she had sons or daughters. Verse 5, but to Hannah, that was the love of his life. He gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. They were sweethearts since they was little kids, and he loved her, right? But the Lord had shut up her womb. But God prevented her from having kids. God is working in Hannah through her pain. She felt unworthy. She felt like she wasn't completing or doing what she had to do. I want to ask you guys a question. How would you feel if the person you love said, you know what? You're not enough. I'm going to find somebody else. How would you feel? That was Hannah. She had to live with that all her life. He had somebody else because you cannot do it. You're not enough. I thought we were. I thought I made the right decision when I said I do. But you know what? Uh-uh. You can't do it. I'm going to find somebody else. How do you think she felt? She was hurting inside. We're going to read on. Yes, he was trying to show her I love you by giving her more things. You can't give a refrigerator or a TV set or a diamond ring to fulfill the hole you have in your heart. Things ain't gonna fill it, brother. I'm sorry. Things aren't gonna fill it. You could try. He tried. He gave her a greater portion. I love you. Here it is. But you know what? Inside, as a person, Verse 6. Her adversary, the person that's against you, also provoked her sore. My version says fret, to feel sorrowful, to really cut her because she was jealous. Yes, yes, Peninnah had kids. Yes, she was doing it, but Elkanah loved Hannah more, and she knew it, and she was jealous at her. So she would say things in order to hurt her because she could not do what Peninnah could do. Be quiet, because God was working. Verse 7. Elkanah did year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Okay? Every year she would provoke her. And just to make her mad, as right before they came into the house of the Lord, right before they came in to church, right? They would walk out, step out, and they'd be walking, and you see one looking at the other one to see how they're dressed. Oh, look at the way she's dressed. Oh, man. Wow, that's slutty. Oh, man, that's nasty. You know what I mean? Just to provoke them. Just to make them mad. Say things. Inside your heart, brother. Inside. Nobody sees it, but they're mad at each other, right? Fake smiles on their faces. They walk in. She was miserable to the point that she didn't even eat anymore. She didn't felt the joy of doing things. Verse 8, her husband saw it. And then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? He's saying, Hannah, I love you. Then isn't my love enough? Isn't what I could do enough? Husbands, there are things your wife are going to go through that you're not going to be able to fix. I'm sorry. I don't care what you think you are. You're not Superman. You're not going to be able to fix it. All you could do is shut up and listen. Be the person that she needs, the foundation of her heart. Listen. Don't give advice as if you're some kind of a master thinker, master planner. Listen. Just listen to him. You understand that? Oh, he said, hey, man, look at Hannah. You don't understand who you're married to. I'm John Travolta. Hello? No, I'm sorry. Just mira. There's a Spanish word that says, cállate. Be quiet. Just listen. Listen, all right? Because there's pain. There's things that we go to that nobody sees, all right? It's hidden in your heart. It's there. It's in society, and from society is moving into your heart, and it goes down to the foundation of your soul, where the Spirit of God dwells, and it wants to get in there, right? Verse 9, Hannah rose up after they have eaten in Shiloh, right? They had this feast. She woke up, and after they had drunk, now Eli, the high priest, sat at the seat by the post of the temple. He was a judge and a high priest, and Hannah was going in there, and it was early in the morning. And she come running in, brother, okay, you're out here at this church for some reason, I don't know, cleaning up for somebody. And somebody comes running in through that door. And they come in, they fall down right there on their face. And they're crying. And all you don't just all you do is you see them cry. What do you think? What do you think? This guy's on drugs. That's what the priest's gonna tell her. You're drunk. What's wrong with you? Right? It says, and the priest, in verse 9, you know, Hannah rose up after they ate in Shiloh and after they have drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat at the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sorely. She gave all her heart to the Lord. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. Now listen to me, brother. You're going to find here in Samuel the term Lord of hosts for the first time. This is realizing God, who he is, the Almighty. There's nobody else beyond him. It is 100% the Lord of the host of heaven. Right, of the there's some terms used as armies, the Lord of the armies of heaven, the Almighty. He said, if thou will indeed look at the affliction of thy handmaiden, servant. Now she calls herself a servant. She says, I wanna serve you, God. God, I want to do what you want me to do. Listen to me, brother. Are you going through problems? Okay, God, all right. I'm going to give myself to you that you can work me through these problems. You have the answer. I don't. I was talking to somebody that has deep problems. Suffering, pain, confusion, profound. I didn't have the answer. I didn't. It was, you know, I was oblivious. My eyes were open. I thought, oh my God, I didn't know that. Brother, there's people that have problems so complicated, you can't unravel it. You understand? It's deep. It goes years, and she is pouring it out to God now. She says, oh, your handmaiden, what's in my soul? And then she's going to get to the root of the problem. When she vowed a vow and said, oh, Lord of hosts, verse 11, if thou wilt look upon the affliction of the handmaiden, remember me. And forget, not forget thy handmaiden, but will give unto thy handmaiden a man-child, that I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. In other words, she was going to make him a Nazarite, dedicated to the Lord. She said, "Look at God, give me." Give me the desires. I'm gonna make it simple. No, God, give me what I got, this hole in my heart, and I can't fill it. And society's giving me garbage, telling me lies, and says, look, if you paint half your head green, the other half purple, you're gonna have joy. What? And I don't have joy. I talked to a girl that her husband died, and she was a Jehovah's Witness. She said, they told me to become a pioneer. A pioneer, somebody dedicates like 40 hours knocking on doors. They call that a pioneer, okay? She said, they told me, look, man, you're going to find joy. She said, I did it, and I'm still empty. I said, you need Jesus Christ. That's why. Oh, yeah, she waved me on. Like, oh, Jesus Christ, you're going to fill me. Well, she didn't know the answer. You know, she said, hey, I got this hollow in my heart. Look at God, if you fulfill it, guess what? I'm going to give it back. You know what tithing is? Huh? Is it somebody grabbing money out of your pocket for I can get rich? It's giving back what God has given you. That is tithing. This is a picture. Look at God, whatever you give me, I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to offer it back to you. Verse 12, and it comes to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. Here comes Mr. Religious Man, Mr. Legalism, right? That Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips move, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she has been drunk. Remember I told you about the man that comes running in here and he's praying unto the Lord? And he's really giving his all because he knows that he tried the solution for all his problems and came up empty and said, God, but I don't hear him. What he says, you know why, brother? Because I don't have the solution. When that mother was telling me, I didn't have the answer. I didn't know. It was beyond my control. I cannot do things. All I could do is point to the one who could. All right? Point. The solution. And the high priest, he wasn't mediating. He didn't understand it. He thought, man, this person is drunk. I mean, what the heck do you think you're doing here? Instead of realizing they're giving their heart to the Lord. What would you do? What would you do if I gave an altar call and somebody stepped out and started giving their heart to God? What would you do? Would you rejoice? Or would you wonder, man, what's going on? If you wonder, man, what's going on, there's something wrong. Because we ought to give our hearts to the Lord. See, people walk in that door and walk out as nothing. I did my 45 minutes. That's it. No, brother, More than that. God wants your all. Your all. Your all. He wants you to give it all. She gave it all. Eli didn't recognize it. He was about as spiritual as a rock. You know, it was nothing. Nothing. Hannah had to answer and said, Hannah answered, verse 15. And said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. She poured out her soul before the Lord. She prayed. And she gave it all to God. Listen to me. Brothers, Jesus one time. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. When Jesus was here on earth, he was preaching, healing, showing that he's the Messiah to Israel. But there was Gentiles there that saw and believed, all right? And a woman come walking up to him. In verse, we're going to read verse 21. Matthew 15, verse 21 says, and Jesus went hence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan. She's a Gentile. She's not a Jew. All right? And she goes over there because she's having problems. And somebody told her about Jesus. Somebody told her about Jesus. And she's wanting to say, okay, man, I'm going to him. Came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Brother, when she said, O Lord, son of David, she is calling him my Messiah. And she was a Gentile, all right? She wasn't a Jew, you know. She was like us. We're non-Jews. And I'm crying to God, God, save me. You see, I cried that out when I was saved. But I cried out different. I said, God, I don't know what this guy is talking about. But he's talking about salvation. And I knew in my heart I needed something. Didn't know what it was. And I asked him, if it's true, save me. You know that? That's what I asked God. If it's true, save me. Look at it. And she goes crying to Jesus. Brother, you got problems? Go to Jesus. Take it to Jesus. Oh, son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed or ill with the devil. She's been possessed, right? And she's not well. She's sick. And he answered her not a word. And Jesus pretended like he didn't hear her cries. Have you ever did that, brother? Have you cried unto God and no response? Come on, man. We live in this crazy world. Is there a God or isn't there a God? And they stand back and just like the Pharisees say, well, let's see if God's going to save him now, right? They look. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. Man, not even, brother, hey, you go to a child of God, and he gives you these funky answers, right? Remember that woman I told you that I talked to and opened up a can of worms? Man, I mean, she had all kinds of problems. You know, I felt like the disciples, I couldn't do anything. Jesus Christ, you go to him. He's the one. But he answered and said unto her, verse 24, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yep. He came to the Jews first. Okay, that's true, brother. If you were to think that, man, we're out of luck. We're not a Jew, so you know what? We're like Hannah, can't do it. Don't have the capability of doing it. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Okay, you have to get to the bottom of yourself. What are you feeling inside? Do you have to come to the bottom, to the very inner core of your soul? And he answered, it is not meet to take the children's bread or meat or food and cast it to the dogs. You're not deserving. That's how we feel. She said, truly, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs. Brother, that's what I was doing. When they told me about salvation, I didn't know anything about it. It wasn't for me. I didn't need it, Jesus Christ. And I told God, God, you know, I don't know what this man's telling me. I don't understand that I'm lost and I need a savior. But something that he was telling me touched my heart. You know, I fought it until I said, you know what? If it's true, God, just give me the crumbs. Just the little pieces, if it's true. And I'm gonna tell you what, that was 35 years ago, the road that I walked, I could look back and know that God was with me. From that time forward, I had fellowship with God. Sometimes I don't know it, you know. Hannah poured out her heart to the Lord, what she was feeling, the fighting that was going on with her competition as a wife. She didn't have the capability to have kids, and the other one was rubbing it in her face. Husband clueless, you know. You should be happy. You're married to me. What are you crying about? You know. You go to church, and the priest don't even understand. He doesn't understand why you're crying. What are you crying about? Why are you crying so much? How come every time you come, you just cry, 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 cry? They don't understand the pain that's in your heart, but you know what? God does. God understands. And God said, I'm working something in you. Until she came to worship. And she came, brother, she came to worship. She knew what she was doing. God granted her her petition, gave her a son, and she called his name Samuel, which is ask of the Lord. I asked him, and God gave me a son named Samuel. And she was so grateful. And I want you guys to see what Elkanah would do every year. He would go up to Shiloh to offer offerings to God. Now, brothers, the book of Leviticus talks about offerings to God. What kind of offerings to God? And how do you offer these offerings to God? You see, when after Exodus comes the book of Leviticus, which is how you're going to worship the living and true God. They come out of bondage from false religion, false teaching, brother. And God wants to tell them how you're going to do it. Listen to me. We're living in a confused world where we have no leader. And brother, when it comes down to religion and serving God, we have this mass confusion. In regards to serving God, we got your Jehovah Witness out there saying that they are the truth. They hold the truth. And my argument to them is Jesus said he is the truth. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have the truth. I don't care how much you pat yourself on the back. You understand that? You could put a badge on there and say, I belong to the truth. Well, if it ain't Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, you're not. Jesus says, I am the truth. You got to have Christ. Look what she does. I want you guys to look what she does. The book of Leviticus says, this is how you're going to do it. This is the reason why you're going to do it. And she's going to do it right down the line. Brothers that are listening here today, let's look at verse 24. And when she had yearned him, which is Samuel, she said, I'm not going to go up there until he is able to fend for himself, and I'm going to dedicate him to God, all right? After he became to that age of, I don't know, some say 3, some say 5, when he's able to be by himself, she took him up with her, verse 24, with 3 buttocks. 3 bowls, 1 Ephraim of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. 3. She bought 3 bowls. Listen to me. In the book of Leviticus, God gave rules. If you had money and you could buy a bull that was acceptable to God, as long as it had no blemish. If you didn't have the money to buy a bull, you could buy a goat. A goat. Or a sheep. All right? That was, as long as it had no blemish, that was acceptable. If you didn't have money for a goat or a sheep, then you could buy a dove or a pigeon. And that God would offer as an offer. And there was a way how they were going to kill it, right? But all of it was by putting your hands on its head and killing it. You'll find that in the book of Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, she's bringing 3, okay? She planned for each sacrifice, different sacrifices. You find them in the book of Leviticus. There is an offering, what's known as a sin offering. You offer what you could. She brought a bull for a sin offering unto God. And she sacrificed the bull. And there's a ritual how you do it. You find that Leviticus chapter 1. And then there's a third, their second bull was for a peace offering. Now you and the Lord are at peace because your sins are now covered, right? It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, now there's no condemnation at 5 or 8. To them that are in Christ Jesus, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's a peace offering. She offered up a peace offering to God. And then the third bull with the flour and the wine was what they call a dedication offering. Listen to me. You come to church to serve God. And she came prepared. She said, I made a prayer to the Lord. He answered me, and I'm going to offer up the offering that's required, which is a bull, flour, which means a meat offering. This flour, brother, was wheat. Some say corn, wheat, put in a bowl, and it was beaten down to a fine flour. Brother, what happened to Jesus Christ before he went on the cross? What happened to him? He was beaten. They whipped him violently. That crushing of that to fine flour was a picture of Jesus, the bull being sacrificed is a picture of Jesus and the blood. And then it was beat up. And then after it was beat up, the priest would get the flour, and there was a certain portion he was to put on the offering as it was cooking. And then the wine offering, the final step, the giving all. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I am ready to be offered up as a offering. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I fought the good fight. Verse 6. Now I'm ready to be offered up. But for my time of departure as at hand, I fight the good fight. He was ready to be, brother, to be poured out. He was going to give his all, his life. He wasn't going to shy away from it, from what God has called him to. Now, I want you guys to understand, God called him to preach the word. And he said, I'm going to do it. People told him, Paul, don't do it. Don't go. There's torment. They're going to bond you in chains. He said, I'm going to serve God. And the book of Acts talks about it. And he said, if I give my life, it'll be for God. And he gave it all. That drink offering that she brought for the buttocks or the bull and the flour and the final was where they pour some wine on top of the meat was a final step to the sacrifice of giving it all as a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. Listen to me, guys. Hey, God wants it all. You know why? Because it smells beautiful to him. When you get on your knees and cry out to him, with a contrite heart, it's a sweet odor to God. Brother, you're here. You hear his word. The Holy Spirit is saying, I know what you're going through. Give yourself to God, to the solution. And when you do it, when you give it all, he says, it's a sweet smelling, God enjoys it. And he'll give you blessings. Look at her pain And what she had to go through with hatred, of a bitterness with her rival, her husband, clueless what to do, couldn't rely on him, couldn't rely on the high priest either, because he don't understand. Brother, I don't understand your problem. I'm sorry, I don't. I don't have a crystal ball here. But what I do know is the one who does. His name is Jesus Christ. And when you open up your heart to him, it's a sweet smelling savor to God. You understand that? Jesus said, don't rejoice over things that you got. Hey, we have control over demons. He said, you know what, man? Charismatic over here. Oh, I'm talking tongue. No. God wants you to open up his heart to him. He wants you to give your all. What's in your heart? That's what God wants, because it's a sweet smelling savor. Brother, I want to invite you to a relationship. I told that to a girl, and they laughed at me. She laughed at me. She thought I was silly. A relationship with God? Are you serious? I said, God loves you, and he wants to know. He wants you. He knows what's going on in your heart already, but he wants you to give it to him. Why? As a prize for the glory. Listen to me. Eyes have not, Paul wrote this. Paul wrote this. You're not going to find it in the Bible, as anywhere in the Old Testament. He said, eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard of the things that God has prepared for you. Right now, there's a strong illusion, a strong delusion given by Satan. We don't see it. We don't understand it. It's confusing. We hear about God when you walk outside and say, oh, my God, look at this mess. How can that be? Listen to me. There's going to be a day when all this is going to be gone. Give your heart now. Give your heart now. And you be like Hannah. She said, man, she rose up early in the morning and praised God. Brother, I invite you today, if anybody wants to come and give themselves to the Lord. Brother, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. We'll please stand, and we'll give an invitation. Today is the day that God has prepared for you. Listen to me. God does not only want to change you. He wants to change everybody in relation to you. But he wants to use you. You are his instrument. You are his channel of communication. Are you submitting to his will, or are you fighting it? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? I'm going to tell you something, guys. That picture of what she brought, the bowl, was a confession of sin, accepting Jesus Christ. The flower, brother, is Jesus gave them wine and gave them bread on their Last Supper. That was the flower. It's a picture of the church, your relationship in the church. Does Christ live in your heart? Are you a member of his church? Are you giving your all? Are you giving your all through the channel that God has prepared, his church? See, it's his church. He said there was 10 versions. Five were ready and five were foolish. They didn't have oil. And they said, oh, give us some oil. I said, no, you had time. But you guys spent it, wasted on silly things. Listen to me, brother. Is your all in the hands of God? Brother, we'll sing a song. 569.